It's here now.
I'm singing in the rain, just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling, I'm happy again.
This year, Gene Kelly would have turned 100, but of course he'll always be young and vibrant and singing in the rain.
The sun's in my heart, and I'm ready for love.
We thought we'd spend a few minutes in appreciation and also ponder the question, was Gene Kelly the greatest dancer or innovator in American musical history, or was it this man?
I just got an invitation through the mail.
Your presence requested this evening. It's formal. Top hat, white tie, and tail.
The incomparable Fred Astaire, who was 13 years older than Gene Kelly and danced with top hat, white tie, and tails.
Oh, I'm putting on the top hat, tying up my white tie, brushing off my tail.
Iris Fanger, dance and theater critic and historian, joins us in the studio to take a look at the two. Welcome.
Thank you.
Is this unseemly to be debating who was better? I mean, should we just leave it that they were both great?
I think we should leave it that they were both great. There were a number of commonalities that they share, but there were also some major differences. I think what makes us very lucky is that these are the only two major dance artists of the 20th century, and indeed of any century, that we have the majority or the greater body of their work on film.
Start with what maybe some of your favorite moments on film were.
Well, that is so hard because I'm one of these people who love everything about dance. But I'd say there, for me, one moment is at the end of the story of Vernon and Irene Castle, which is the last of the Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers films. Vernon Castle and Irene Castle were ballroom dancers. They were a huge influence on Fred Astaire and his sister, Adele Astaire. That was the act that they had for 25 years in both vaudeville and on Broadway. In real life, Vernon Castle went off to fight in World War I. He was a British citizen, and his plane crashed, and he died in 1918. In the film, the last scene shows Vernon Castle coming back as a ghost and dancing with his wife in a garden. It's this misty, beautiful scene, as if they're going to go on dancing together beautifully for eternity.
And, of course, it's Fred Astaire. So in citing that film, you've also told us a little bit of Fred Astaire's biography. His sister, Adele, was the bigger star.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Their grandparents on their father's side were Jewish Austrians, converted to Catholicism. He was born in Omaha, Nebraska. But by the age of six, he and his sister were stars. Some formal dance training, but as you look at his dance, is it jazz? Is it modern? Is it balletic? What is it?
Well, Gene Kelly, at the end of his life, did an interview with Anna Kiselgoff, who was then the chief dance critic at the New York Times. And he told Anna, when she asked him about Fred, he said, oh, they were ballroom dancers.
Did he say that dismissively?
I don't think so. I think he was trying to point out the differences between him and between Fred Astaire. And I think what he meant by that is that Fred Astaire always had a partner. And, of course, he always had a partner from the age of six for 25 years. Adele was his partner, his older sister. And then she retired in 1932, and then there was the question about what is poor old Fred going to do. And, of course, then he went to Hollywood, and he did a screen test. And there's the famous story that when Fred Astaire did his audition, the verdict was, can't sing, dances a little.
Yeah, we're supposed to be. And is balding. Of course, he proved that person wrong, went on to stardom. But that comment that his was ballroom dancing, well, you have Baryshnikov saying Fred Astaire is one of the greatest dancers he'd ever seen.
Well, and George Balanchine considered him the greatest American dancer. He called himself a musical comedy performer. And he was very clear that he used whatever dance style he needed for whatever the theme of the dance was.
Yeah. Well, let's move to Gene Kelly. Mm-hmm. Irish-American from Pittsburgh, very athletic. His mother enrolled him in dance lessons. He quit after boys teased him, but then took it up again at 15 on his own accord, never looked back. You know, he unlike Astaire's top hat, Gene Kelly was more in slacks and and tight-fitting shirts or tops.
Yeah. White T-shirts.
Right, right. But what was his style? What would you call that?
Well, I think it's the same with Gene Kelly. He himself called his style eclectic, meaning that he was very much ballet trained. And if you see in Semaphore, even in his Dance with the Mouse and Anchors Away, they're doing all kinds of very specific ballet turns.
We have the scene of him singing and dancing with Jerry the Mouse, who's animated. And it's really quite something. Let's just listen a bit.
Though it hurts you, be a pleasanter guy. You may even learn to like it if you give it a try. You could laugh and sing and dance as gaily as an elf, but don't expect to get much help if you don't help yourself. Will you try?
If you show me.
I'll show you.
I'll try.
Good.
He was a ballet dancer, even though God knows he didn't look like a ballet dancer
wearing tights. He was stockier and muscular.
Oh, stockier and muscular. He looked like the boy next door or the truck driver next door.
As you mentioned, we know them because of these films. How are they different on film? You know, Fred Astaire, we understand, wanted just a single camera shot.
It seems to me, when you look at a Fred Astaire film, the camera is your stand-in. The individual viewers stand it, and the camera is sitting in a seat in the audience, and straight ahead is a stage, and Fred Astaire and his partner are dancing. And the camera doesn't zoom in because it's sitting in a seat. The camera is just taking this long shot. Whereas when you look at a Gene Kelly film, first of all, Gene Kelly did all the choreography for the numbers. He, at least for most of his films. And he used landscapes. He used Paris. He used that wonderful fountain in American in Paris. He really was a choreographer, and he employed every kind of style because he had studied every kind of style. You're talking about two men of genius who spent their entire lives honing their art form. And what's interesting is each film was different. They didn't repeat themselves. They came up with new gimmicks, if you would, or new ways of showing themselves as dancers. And even though certainly Fred played the same character, he was the sort of shy, bashful, but very suave, debonair, sophisticated, who wasn't sure he would get the girl, but of course he always did. Mm-hmm. And Gene Kelly came on like the fraternity boy at college who was out to get the girl with a lot of self-assurance. I think that Gene Kelly probably was more comfortable for Americans to watch because I think that the world that Fred Astaire inhabited was the upper-class world. So in one way, that took you out of your own troubles and projected you for several hours into a different world. But Gene Kelly was more familiar looking. And even though his exploits were something that nobody else could do, he at least looked like somebody that you would know or that you would meet.
Yeah. Pick one. Since we are celebrating Gene Kelly's 100th year, he would have been 100 this year. Pick a Gene Kelly moment for us to go out on.
Well, I suppose the swinging on the lamppost in the rain. I know that's perhaps one that's so overly familiar it's nearly a cliche, but I think it wraps up Gene Kelly, the audaciousness, the fun, and even though it was familiar, it was a new place that he took us to.
Iris Banger, dance and theater critic and historian on the lives of both Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire. Iris, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.
Dancing and singing in